Shalom Saints, God bless this evening. Sorry for a few minutes delay, but I was just trying to get it started on YouTube there so we can get ourselves up and running. Trust everybody is well in the Lord. Sorry if I do have a bit of a tickly voice, still a little bit of a cough here, so we will try our best to get through well enough. So God bless everybody. We are having a look at a topic this week by the grace of God. And thanks to Brother Sasha for helping. Facebook, they refused our advert, our graphic. They said it was political, not realizing it's nothing to do with politics. We're not looking at politics. We're looking at modern events made clear by prophecy. So we had to change it, take away Putin's picture and different things and take away the word Russia. Then finally they accepted it. So it's amazing. They accept all the things about same-sex marriage, no matter what, you want abortion and that. But the moment you put something like that, you find, no, we can't do it. I don't understand these guys, but it's their world now. Our world is yet to come. So let them have their day. So God bless each and everyone. We're looking at this because of modern events. Watch Russia. We'll get into it a bit further down the way. But we're looking at Gog and Magog and the last days. So it's very much looking at prophecy today. It's a Bible study. It's a real, just genuine Bible study, matching scripture with modern events. That's what you wanted to have a look at. What's happening now in Ukraine? What's happening with Russia? It's always significant because by prophecy, we have been told to watch Russia. So we must watch Russia. So everything has a significance, but let's try to place this scripturally. What's going on? What does it mean? I know certain people are panicking. People are thinking this, that, and the other. Let's try to place it in the scriptures by the grace of God. Just to answer, there was a minister who posted something on the Facebook page just after Brother Sasha posted the image that he said straight away that Gog and Magog has nothing to do with Russia. Now, there's two battles of Gog and Magog. There's one in the tribulation, which is what you're looking at this evening, Gog and Magog, coming against Israel. And there's another one at the end of the millennium, which is the battle of Gog and Magog. Yes, that's nothing to do with Russia. So I agree with him. Gog and Magog has nothing to do with Russia if that's the war you're looking at, the one at the end of the millennium. Now, we're not looking at that one. We're looking at Ezekiel 38, which we're going to be looking at this evening, which is Gog and Magog, Russia coming against Israel. And I think it'll be clear enough if the minister would watch. I just thought to myself, I said, we are so quick as people to condemn. We'll judge something just by looking at a picture and say, that's not right, without maybe even giving somebody an opportunity to try to prove the point. And we all make that mistake. And I think if we don't keep a teachable spirit, we can quite easily forsake mercies many, many times. So I'd say we should always remain teachable. No matter which avenue the Lord wants to teach us, let's remain teachable. We don't know everything. You know, we might have light shone upon our path, a key given to us that would be very useful to us if maybe we just keep our hearts open. But it's easy to close the door too soon. That's what I learned from that. So let's pray before we read the word. Father, thank you once again that you can gather to open your word upon this evening. But Father, what we desire is to fellowship with the author. So we ask for your blessing upon all that should be said upon this evening. Bless what is said. Bless our understanding. Guide us, Lord. We just want to know better your will, just to recognize our day, its message, just to recognize the time and the season we're living in. So bless each person that is tuned in. Anybody that should watch this down the way, may your special blessing be upon them. Guide us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's open Ezekiel 38. I didn't put this on slides at the beginning, saints. But we're basing this on Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 39. This is what we are speaking of by the grace of God this evening, if the Lord will help us. I'm just going to read the first few verses, if you've got your Bible, of Ezekiel 38. This is about 500 BC, so it's 2,500 years ago. The Lord speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog. So the Lord is saying, set your face against this character called Gog. And who is he? Where is he? The land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. So God has an issue with this particular leader, this particular man. When he rises on the scene, when what's really the purpose in his heart is exposed, what he really wants to do, the Lord, 2,500 years before, has already set his face against this man and prophesied against him. Verse 3, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. My, I wouldn't want the word to be saying that about me. Imagine the Lord before you're born, he says, I'm against you. My, that's not a nice situation where you want to contend with the Most High. Now, I know there's a lot of people who like different political parties, different political things. Friends, we're not politicians, but I know well enough that if the Lord is against somebody, I'm going to be against it as well. If the Lord doesn't agree with the system, I don't agree with that system, because we should have the mind of Christ. We should have the harmony between the bride and the groom. We know that. Verse 4, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. Next week, by the grace of God, we'll see, what is this hook that is put into the jaws of this man? And I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen. Obviously, Ezekiel's speaking in the terms of his day. He doesn't know what tanks and missiles are, so he's speaking of horses and horsemen. I mean, he's speaking of an army. It's all symbolic. All of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, so fully armed, equipped for war. That's what's coming now. Where are they coming from? So this man, Gog, who's he together with? Verse 5, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togmarath of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. So they've prepared themselves for war. Let's finish reading verse 8. After many days, Ezekiel says, shalt thou be visited in the latter years. That's the last days. That's when we're living, saints. In the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword. So they're coming into Israel that's been scattered for 2,000 years by the Romans. They've been brought back. And now somebody's going to come against them when they've been gathered back again. And is gathered out of many people. So Israel was scattered and then gathered out of many nations. And where does this Gog come against? Against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely of all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. May the Lord bless his word. We'll take a thought from there, saints. We'll try to just take the scripture. Let's do a Bible study, scripture, speaking to scripture, looking at just history and where we are now. What is this meaning? Who are these people? Who should we be expecting this to happen? When should this happen? And who are the people that are going to do these kind of things? If the Lord could help us to understand that, I think it would really be good. So first of all, verse 2, he says, son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince. So there's going to be a chief prince. There's going to be a king. There's going to be a ruler, dictator, whatever you want to call him. And he's the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. So Ezekiel is prophesying against him. Now, why is prophecy against him? Because he's coming against the people of God. He's coming against the children of God. He's coming against Israel. If he had just stayed in the Ukraine, if he had just stayed, you know, in Georgia, if he had just stayed wherever he wants, that's okay. Let him fight his battles. But once he touches the apple of God's eye, God is going to prophesy against him. Because he, yeah, that keepeth Israel, shall not slumber and shall not sleep, the prophecy says. God has an issue. He says, if you touch Israel, you've touched the apple of my eye. That's what God says. Touch not my anointed, says the Lord. Now, he rebuked kings for their sakes, it says about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the Lord is watching over Israel. And now this man, he sets his evil heart against Israel. We'll see this is the final thing that he's going to do. He sets his heart against Israel. And the Lord says to him, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against thee, O Gog. And that's why his plan fails. The chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And when is it, as we said? After many days. So this is 2,500 years ago, it was prophesied. After many days shalt thou be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come. You know, so this is a prophecy that's been sealed up to the time of the end. It's one of those prophecies where it's coming into the land that is brought back from the sword. Now to you, saints who love to read your Bible, if you're reading Ezekiel 38, like Brother Ram says, if you're reading in the middle of a book and you see there's Romeo and Juliet, you know, something's happening, go back to the beginning of the book and find out who is Romeo and who is Juliet. You know, then you get the full picture. If you want to know what's going on here, start in Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 is the regathering of Israel in the end time. You'll read it. If you read Ezekiel 36, the Lord's bringing them back to their land, reestablishing the cities again, planting the desert like a rose. Ezekiel 37 is the vision of the dry bones. They're the dry bones in the valley. That's speaking of the gathering of Israel once again. That's been fulfilled in our ages and the process of being fulfilled. So these are end time chapters. Ezekiel 36, starting in 1948, even just before that, the regathering of Israel. Ezekiel 37, Israel will be regathered and then have a revival. The Lord will breathe on them. That hasn't yet happened. You know, they haven't yet come to life spiritually. But it shows this is the season. So Ezekiel 38 in that context shows us we're in the end time when we're speaking of these things. It couldn't be applied to any other time. So this Gog is going to come. So here's Israel, we said, gathered out of many peoples. Israel was gathered from all the nations they'd been scattered into. They'd been brought again to the mountains of Israel, which were waste for 2,000 years. And they'd been brought forth, and they're dwelling safely. I mean, they're at peace. They're making peace accords with Arab nations. They have peace with Egypt. All seems to be going well. You know, the Lord is blessing them. And that always gets the attention of the devil. Whenever God is blessing his people, when you have rest inside of your life, Satan's never going to be far away. And he comes and puts in the heart of this leader, this chief prince, to come against Israel now. Oh, friends, this really just sounds like the tactics of the devil. And like we say, coming from, okay, now verse 15 is going to give us the first clue. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts. So Gog, the ruler of Magog, this chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, he's going to come from the north parts with many people with him. And thou shalt come against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land in the latter days. So I think we've got a pretty clear background. We'll try to fill in the gaps now. Okay, so who is Gog? Gog, this word in Hebrew, is not a personal name. The man's name isn't Gog, but it's a title like Tsar or Pharaoh. You know, there were many pharaohs, Pharaoh Necho and Pharaoh Ramses and so forth. It's a title. So it's a name of leadership, a chief prince, verse 2 is telling us. That's what it means. So Gog is a title. We don't have his name, but one day we'll see the word becoming flesh, and what was sealed under the name Gog will have a name of the man, will have a name of the actual person, just like we have the beast, and it's been called the beast. But finally, in the end, when the tribulation period comes on, we're going to see a name under that seal. We're going to find the beast has a particular name. A certain individual will fulfill that scripture just as much as with Gog. So Gog is not a personal name, but it's a title of leadership. Magog, now it's different. It's a name of someone. He will arise in the land of Magog. That's what it literally means. And we've seen it's from the remotest parts of the north. That's the literal interpretation. So this land where Gog comes from is in the remotest parts of the earth. And we know the Lord, when he's speaking of the north of somewhere, God always puts Israel as the center of the earth. Like the Jews say, Israel is the center of the earth, Jerusalem is the center of Israel, and the Temple Mount is the center of Jerusalem, because that's the place the Lord has chosen to place his name. So where, what nation do we find due north of Israel? There's Israel. We have Turkey due north. But we get to Russia. We get to this great nation here. And if I didn't put it on the map there, but almost exactly where that arrow is pointing is where you find Moscow. Moscow is due north of Israel. So this is to the uttermost parts of the north. So up here now, far north of Israel, which is the nation the most far north of Israel, is Russia. So we can see straight away, we're getting some things to come together in the latter days, that Russia is going to start now. An evil plan's going to be hatched. We don't see the name Russia in the Bible. We don't see the Soviet Union. We don't see those kind of things. But we'll see that the prophet is clearly speaking about Russia as we go through it in the remote parts of the north. So here's a political leader, and we're going to see it from Ezekiel 38. He has a lot of influence politically. He's made a great alliance of nations. He's got a great military strength. He's coming like a storm against Israel, and he's dwelling in the north, far north. He's in that place. And this is the furthest place that you can go north. So you'll find this. If you want to find a bit of detail on this, you can take Genesis 10, the table of the nations after the flood, and you're going to find all of these names are there. You know, Ezekiel is not using names that are in the Bible. These are the sons of Japheth. And it actually tells you in that, the table of the nations, where the sons of Japheth went. This one went here, this one went there. You know, they went up, and we'll get into it, but we'll find that these are the Russians speaking, coming from Japheth, and they move north. They were called in history, these sons of Japheth were called the Scythians. Now, these were, the Greeks used to call them the Scythians, and that's the place where they used to dwell. They were expert horsemen. They were fierce. They were bloodthirsty. They were barbarians. And genetically speaking, they were the Aryan people, the Aryan race. And they settled now, historically, you can trace it, into Russia, the former Soviet republics. So you'll find all those Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, all of the stans that are there, and in Central Asia. So all of these peoples around here, this is when we're speaking of the descendants of Japheth coming down to Magog. They initially came, if you read the Bible and so forth, through Iran. They settled there first, then they moved north, and they inhabited the Russian nations. And that became the Soviet Union in the end. That's where they came from. Now, what about Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal? Because we've been told that this Gog, this leader, this chief prince is in charge of Rosh, Meshach, Tubal. So where are these names? You're going to find these names. All we've got to do, if you want to understand these names, let's go and have a look in Hebrew. Let's go and have a look in geography, look in history. Josephus, all of them tell us all these kind of things. The research has already been done. We don't have to crack our heads. We're going to find that Rosh is the ancient name of Russia. That's where the name Russia comes from. You know, so just another proof that Rosh, Russia, but he's going to have others with him. And he's going to have other nations as well. So this is taken from Josephus, and then the prince of Rosh means therefore the prince or king of the Russian Empire. And I put a picture there of the current Gog of the Russian Empire, who's shaking things up a little bit at this time because he has an evil plan has been hatched in his heart. This guy's good with his evil plans, and he set his face against a nation that is not his. And he's not afraid to use his military and his political power to invade other nations when it's to his benefit. You know, so we're not going to be surprised to find in the end that he's going to come against Israel when he's already been doing this many, many times along the way. Coming against Israel isn't going to be the first time he hatches a plan like this. This is Gog in our day. So it's the Russian Empire. Meshach is the ancient name for Moscow, which again is another proof. Who is this? Rosh. He's the prince of Rosh, prince of Russia. He's the supreme leader of Moscow, of Meshach, that was in ancient days gone by. And Tubal, there's the river Tubal in Russia. Tobolsk is in Siberia. It's a big oil town. So it just proves that it's right from the west, Moscow, all the way to Siberia in the east. He's the prince of this great, great territory, this man, this Gog. You can read the ancient, in the writings of the Jews, and like Jacinius, he says, Jacinius in 1846, one of the greatest of the Jewish historians, he said, Rosh is undoubtedly the Russians who are mentioned by the Byzantine writers under the name of Rus, dwelling in the north of Taurus. That's to the north of Turkey. That's exactly where we're going to find it. Yeah, if you've got Turkey here, dwelling to the north of Turkey, we're going to find so many proofs that anybody who does their research and there's this little doubt who Gog really is, who Rosh and Meshech and Tubal, there's not much of a doubt. So what is it showing us? Ezekiel 38, it's showing us that in the last days, in the latter days, there's going to come a prince or a king or a dictator from the Russian Empire. And he's going to have aspirations, ambitions that will rise up inside of his heart that's going to lead him to invade nations. And the final one he's going to try to invade is going to be Israel, which is going to be a real, real mistake that he's going to make. Now, if you have a look at the map, sorry, I'm just going to take something out here. Okay. If you have a look on the map, he can't invade directly from Russia. Yeah, you can't get to Israel over here from Russia. So he's going to have to come through other nations. So he's going to invade other nations and so forth. Once he invades other nations, he's going to have a link to be able to come down here now to invade little Israel over here. You know, so you'll see that as we go, that he doesn't have the power or the means to initially go straight into Israel. So he's going to invade nations as we go along. And this is according to prophecy as well. So you know, he commands a great territory here. You can see it. He's got a great army, it's telling us in Ezekiel 38. Got great political power. He makes a great coalition of nations. He's going to get himself prepared. But the end of all of this, don't forget, saints, according to the Bible, is his aim is Israel. Everything else is just preparatory. Everything else is just leading to that. So all of the other things about birth pains, you know, they're just pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, putting the things together to bring him to what he really, really wants. And we'll see it next time, why he wants to do that. Why does he want to come against Israel? Okay, so we saw Rosh, we saw Tubal. Let's go back to Ezekiel 38 and just take another couple of verses. It says in Ezekiel 38, verse 10, thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that at the same time shall things come into your mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. You know, and if you take another translation of that, you will devise an evil plan. Now, you're going to find that people who devise evil plans, that it's not just it's a one-off event. A person who's got an agenda like this Gog of Magog, this end-time ruler, you're going to find he's going to be devising evil plans continually because that's what's inside of his heart. This is just the final part of his evil plan. You're going to find that this isn't the first evil plan that he's devised because his heart is evil. Yeah, you can say this and say that, but you know, a tree is known by its fruits. So you can see that he's, I just liked what the one person, one on the Bible dictionary when it speaks of an evil plan there, it says, this suggests that he'll be a political and military strategist already familiar with evil. By the time he comes to Israel, he's already familiar with evil. He knows how to get rid of the opposition. He knows if something stands in his way, you know, he knows how to behave like his Scythian roots, to be fierce and bloodthirsty. Anything that stands in his way, no, it must be taken out of the way. That's just the kind of guy that this is. And the Lord, if you read in verse 18 and 19, I didn't put on a slide, God has an issue with this man. It says God will oppose him with fury and in the fire of his wrath. So when the Lord rises up, friends, that's the end of this evil empire that's going to come against Israel. What about verse 14? Okay, let me just show you this devising an evil plan. Let's look at the current Gog, the leader of Magog. Is this the one that Ezekiel's speaking of? We can't tell. He seems to have all the characteristics, Putin, to really fulfill Gog, the leader of Magog, because if you go 2008, you'll find that he's already devised evil plans. He invaded Georgia, his neighbor, and he annexed territory and says, this belongs to Russia now, because we have more Russian people living here. I don't know if you remember that. I remember it well. And nobody did anything about it. They just allowed this Gog to flex his muscles, to bully his way. And he went and invaded his neighbor. And he went and took land from his neighbor. So he already devised his first evil plan there. What about in 2014? I was in Donetsk twice in Ukraine. With the saints, they're wonderful. There was a wonderful big church there. 250 people. We had wonderful meetings there. Brother Max's son, Gideon, was in Luhansk. He got stuck there during this war. Remember in 2014, when this Gog, who's in charge now, devised another evil plan to invade Ukraine and say, look, most of the people living in these areas are Russian. Therefore, we're going to take these nations. And we saw yesterday, he went and recognized these as nations, Donetsk and Luhansk, if you've been watching the news. So you can really see that he's not the sort of man, the one that's there, this current Gog, the ruler of Magog. He's not afraid to flex his muscles and invade other territories. If that's what comes into his heart, if this is the ambition, the evil plan that he has, he's been doing it all along. Later on, 2014, what does he do? He invades Crimea. And he annexes Crimea. Now it takes, which Crimea belongs to Ukraine. But he sent in his troops. He says, no more belong to Ukraine. Crimea now belongs to Russia. And they built a big bridge here in this little gap. And they linked it up. And now Crimea is, according to this leader of Rosh at the moment, is now part of Russia. And what could Ukraine do? They could do nothing. So we're not surprised to see him threatening Ukraine again. Yeah, and wanting to send troops in and stuff. This is not something new. This is something, he's got an evil plan that he's devised inside of his heart. But this isn't the main, this is leading towards the end game. But the end game for him is going to be Ezekiel 38 when he comes against Israel. So we can see it. And he's got all of these evil plans. So now, there's a very interesting prophecy I'll tell you about. When you're speaking about Crimea here, you see Crimea right next to Ukraine? This is the Turkey prophecy. This is a prophecy which was made by a very famous rabbi in the 1700s. His name was the Vilna Gaon. He was actually from Vilnius. He was a Jewish rabbi. But listen what he said, 1797. Listen to his prophecy. It says, he left his followers with a prophetic statement about two specific events that will happen just before the appearance of Messiah. The very first, he says, when you hear that the Russians have captured the cities of Crimea, you should know that the times of the Messiah have started for the Jews. So he says, that's it. So he warned his followers, when you see Russia take Crimea, he says the times of the Messiah is near. He says, the way he types it, he says, the footsteps of the Messiah are now being heard. He says, but when you hear that the Russians have reached the city of Constantinople, you should put on your Shabbat clothes, your Sabbath clothes. Don't take them off, because it means the Messiah is about to come at any minute. So, where is Constantinople now? It's now called Istanbul. Can you see Istanbul on the Black Sea? It is the capital, or the biggest city, not the capital, of Turkey. So you can see that that prophecy of that rabbi was, when you see Crimea falling, that's the first step. Then you'll see Turkey now, which is spoken of by Constantinople. Then you're going to have already Syria. Russia has troops in Syria. It's got a port in Syria. We all know that. Then he says, you know, once you see Russia enter into Turkey, so you can see the where things are going to go to, saints. You can see it. I really found this prophecy was fascinating, because we'll see next time it's exactly in line with what the prophet said. Turkey is very significant, because Russia cannot deploy a storm of troops unless it comes through Turkey. It's got to have some way to get there. So this prophecy was, there's a similar prophecy in existence among the Jews of a Jewish sage known as Baal Shem Tov. He was in the 18th century. And he said, when you see the Russian horse in Constantinople, in Turkey, you should know Messiah, the Messiah, is about to arrive. He says, the Russians will come, the second sign, he says, and they will be together with the sons of Ishmael. Now, you didn't get that from nowhere. We'll see it as we get deeper into this. That's exactly what Ezekiel 38 is telling us. We're going to have Libya. We're going to have Ethiopia. We're going to have the Muslim nations are going to be together with Russia as she comes in Ezekiel 38 against Israel. So we should see these things happening as modern events are being made clear by prophecy. We should see the signs of these things. If you look at our newspapers, we look on the internet, we should find Israel becoming very friendly and making alliances with the Muslim nations like Iran, selling weapons to Ethiopia. So, yeah, all of these Libya, we're not going to be surprised. Just go and search and you'll find that Russia has a huge alliance made militarily as we speak with all of these nations. We will just show that on a map in a few minutes here. So yesterday's date was very significant. Here he sends his troops into Donetsk and Luhansk, this Gog of Magog. On the 22nd of the 2nd of 22. To anybody who knows numbers in the Bible, number 2 is the number of division. It's the perfect number of division. You can prove that from throughout the Bible. So you find that now he's come out clear. This is the man. He comes and he's dividing the land. Watch what he does. And he's not ashamed to use his power. I was thought it yesterday. I said that number is very, very significant of what this man is trying to do. And this is what you're waiting for now. So we wouldn't be surprised if the same Gog devises another evil plan. Now it looks like it's going to come in motion. We don't know how far it's going to go. Now they're saying maybe he's going to invade and take Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, and whatever. You know, but he's got ambitions. He's got thoughts. If you follow the real political analysts, what they believe is he's going to come in. So he's got this area over here where the tank is just above the tank. There's Donetsk, there's Luhansk. But he's only got a bridge linking him from Russia to Crimea. So wouldn't be surprised, as they've shaded here, that he invades this area of Ukraine so that he can link Russia in red here with Crimea, which he's already said is Russia. That wouldn't be surprising to find that's his main plan. It'll be surprising to find out that he invades the whole of the Ukraine. I mean, he's going to have a lot of headaches on his hands if he wants to do that. But just to invade and take the capital here, Kiev, that's not hard. He's got all of his troops in Belarus. He's got all his troops on the border there. But I wouldn't be surprised if this would be part of his plan, maybe just to take this kind of territory bordering Russia, because it's to his strategic advantage. Russia only has one warm water port. That is in Crimea. That is why he wanted to annex Crimea, Putin, because he needed a warm water port. All of the Russian ports, they freeze up in winter. So he's got his port there. So if he can link land between Russia and his only warm water port, that's going to be to his advantage. And this man's not afraid to flex his muscles to get what he wants if he thinks it's in the interest of Meshech and Tubal and Rosh, if he thinks it's in the interest at all. So that's why we at the situation we are. We'll see. This is the mid game of something that'll head towards the end game. Now it says in Ezekiel 38, he's coming in verse 4 with a great company, a great horde. This is going to be a huge army that comes. Yeah. Because he's going to unite himself together with the Islamic nations. And they're going to come. The sons of Ishmael, like that prophecy said, are going to come with Russia against Israel. And like a cloud, like a storm, like a cloud to cover them, Israel's going to be in big trouble at this time. Now, Israel, they're so much relying on, they're so proud of their military, they're so proud of that. Friends, this is like the time of Jacob's trouble. You know, when you get so trusting in your technology, you think you've got everything under control. Yeah, you think you're friends with Russia because Israel thinks it's friends with Russia. They just need to read their Bibles a little bit clearer to know that these very friends and many of these Muslim nations they're making these alliances with now, these Abraham Accords, are the very ones that are named in the nations that are going to come against them in this war of Gog and Magog. when this ruler, this chief prince, devises this evil plan inside of his heart, they're going to come like a storm and many people with him, preparing themselves. But friends, these are but birth pains. That's all this is. This is just another birth pain. I mean, this is not so significant in prophecy and stuff. It doesn't speak about Ukraine in the Bible. This isn't the people of God. This is not something. If you got your Bible there, let's just read Matthew chapter 24, a couple of verses. I didn't have enough time to put the slide there. I do apologize. Matthew chapter 24. Let's just read and just remind ourselves once again. What does it say in Matthew 24? The words of Jesus, when he tells us, don't let any man deceive you. Don't be confused. When he opens the seals to us in Matthew 24, verse 4, they ask him the sign of the end and so forth. Let's just skip to verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. That's exactly what this is. This is wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. It's not going to affect us, this one here. Maybe like now the price of petrol is going to go up again. Yeah, it affects us because it's already almost 2 euro. Already the price of oil went up overnight because of this. It's going to hit us in the pocket, but about that's all it's going to do to us. This is not so significant what's taking place. Jesus saying, be ye not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The bride is still here. Israel's not yet sealed away. We can't have Armageddon now. We can't have these kind of things now. We can't have nuclear missiles flying now because Lot had to even get out of Sodom before God could judge Sodom. God will never judge through the blood. No, judgment will never come while the bride is on earth. In measure, the birth pains of the judgment. But the Lord will always take his people and hide them away in his secret place before he pours out his wrath and his anger. You know, so you can tell this Ezekiel 38 is in the tribulation period. And it must be later in the tribulation period because you'll find that this time God has really visited his people. You know, we'll see that next week by the grace of God. So we can see Jesus telling us, be not troubled, the end is not yet. Verse 7, he tells us again, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Yeah, that's what we see here. So kingdom, Russia against kingdom, Ukraine, kingdom, Russia against kingdom, Georgia. These are birth pains. They're leading somewhere. Satan's putting his jigsaw pieces in place, but he's got an end game. He wants that land that God has set his heart upon. He wants that place where God has chosen to place his name. That's what Satan wants. He wants to sit in the temple saying that he's God. He doesn't want Israel to be there. You know, the beast wants to be there himself. So that's what it's saying. It says, nation shall rise against nation, verse 7, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines. We see it now. Pestilences, COVID-19. Earthquakes in diverse places. We see it. Bushfires. We see storms. You know, nature taking a tumble. You know, we see that creation is groaning. We see these are the birth pains. So what's happening in Ukraine now is just another birth pain. It's just a nation rising against a nation. Be not troubled, the end is not yet. That is what Jesus told us too. But he told us in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. These are the birth pains. This is when a woman's in travail and the troubles get, the birth pains get more and more frequent and more severe. Look what's happening with the weather. Look what's happening in the political world. The birth pains. We can see these are the birth pains of the kingdom age, but the end is not yet, according to Jesus. Okay, let's finish off with this coalition that he builds. Let's see if we write on this one here. What is his coalition? If you've got your Bible there, and you look at the names of the nations, I had to just correct one of them. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 38, who comes together with him? Verse 5, Persia. So Persia is going to be with him. Okay. Sorry, I didn't actually put it on the side. Who is Persia? Persia is Iran. Iran is the ancient name of Persia. Until 100 years ago, it was always called the Persian Empire. It's the Persian Gulf. Then now it's been changed into the Republic of It's actually 1935, it changed into Iran. But never in the last 2,500 years, since the days that this prophecy was made by Ezekiel, 2,500 years, there was never a military alliance between Russia and Iran until in the last 10 years. Friends, that is very significant because prophecy is time-locked. Can you see? Every prophecy, it has to be the right people in the right place at the right time. And before the time, the prophecy can never be fulfilled. But now with Iran and Russia joining them, Russia's helping them even to develop their nuclear programs and all these kind of things. Russia has sold Iran so many missiles, so much military, billions upon billions. The biggest deal Russia ever made was selling Iran missiles, yeah, and armaments. So we can see this is the one. We're not going to be surprised to find, like that rabbi said, Ross is going to join together with the sons of Ishmael. He's going to join himself together now with these Islamic nations, Persia. You know, and you could go and trace that in Genesis 10, the sons of Cush formed Persia and so forth. That is exactly who it is. Libya, the next one it says. Libya, in Bible days, the sons of Ham was Put. That was his name. And he went, and Libya in those days, Bible days, was bigger than just the nation of Libya. Now we call it Libya. Later on it was changed from Put to Libya. But it includes Algeria, even a part of Morocco. And Libya, all that area here, this is where this Gog is going to make his alliance with. And again, you're going to find each of these nations here is an Islamic nation. And all of these nations are in alliance as we speak for the first time in history with Russia. Just do a Google search, go and find out about all these alliances. You can find the newspaper headlines or the deals that have been signed in the last 20 years, 15 years. When this Gog took power, Putin, and he took dictatorial powers, and he started to ally himself now with the Muslims. That's what he started to do straight away. So Josephus tells us that Put Libya is Put. He tells us that. You can find all of these things in history. Algeria, Tunisia, those kind of nations, all the North African countries. What about Goma? Who is Goma? Gomer, you can find it, Genesis 10, one of Japheth's descendants. He's put together in the same verse in Genesis 10, verse 3, with Magog, Meshach, and Tubal. So, you know, these are all one big violent group of people, clan. They come genetically from the same part. This is Turkey, the Turkish people. You know, so they're going to join in this. And friends, there's a pharaoh that knows not Joseph in charge of Turkey now. Turkey used to have a very close alliance with Israel until this one, Erdogan, got in charge now. He is so much, he's trying to turn his nation, Turkey, into an Islamic state and is very much against Israel. Turkey was supposed to have joined NATO and EU and it was all stopped because this man took over and he's a good, good buddy of Gog. He really, really likes Gog. Kush, Sudan, Ethiopia, that area there, Eritrea. Again, go and see who are these nations allied with. These are the big buddies of Russia. Specific nations that it speaks about that in the end time are going to come against Israel. Here's little Israel here in the middle there, little blue. Here's going to come Magog. He's going to come down. He's actually going to invade Goma, it looks like, come down from Turkey, Goma, with the Iranians with him, with the Sudanese, the Eritreans, some of the Ethiopians, with the Islamic nations of North Africa with him. They're all going to come against Israel. But to show how perfect, friends, scripture is, you're going to find one nation, a few nations there that aren't mentioned in the scripture. The most notable one is Egypt. Why is Egypt not in this alliance? Since Israel got its independence in 1948, Egypt led every war against Israel. The War of Independence, Egypt tried to smash Israel. 1956, tried to smash Israel. 67, Egypt fought against Israel, the Six-Day War. 1973, Yom Kippur War, Egypt invaded Israel on the most holy day. you know, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It was Egypt, but why would Egypt not be here? Showing just how perfect prophecy is, friends. Everything is time-locked. In 1979, Egypt signed a peace treaty, the first Arab nation to do it, with Israel. Very big. You know, the Camp David Accords. You can go and read it in history. And up to today, they still have an alliance. Israel and Egypt are cooperating on the gas they found. They're working together. So when Ezekiel 2,500 years ago looked forward to the latter days and said there's going to be a Gog rise up, there's going to be a prince rise up over Magog, and an evil plan's going to come in his heart, and there's going to be other nations that are going to join themselves to him, he never put Egypt there. Friends, that's an amazing thing to think about. And that only could ever have been fulfilled since 1979, because Egypt was always against Israel. The other nation you don't find there is Iraq. Iraq's not against Israel now, ever since the Iraq war. You would have thought, why is Iraq not coming against Israel in this war? You're going to find some notable absences in that list, which perfectly reflect the state of nations as we stand now. Friends, and then people say the Bible's not an inspired book. I just wonder how people can say that. Just a study of prophecy. Ezekiel looking 2,500 years into the future. In those days, Russia, friends, only in the last 75 years became a world power. Russia was a nobody before the Second World War. Hitler went and he could have conquered if he hadn't made a great mistake. But it was the Second World War that Russia had to empower itself and make its arms, and they got nuclear weapons. And only in the last 70 years did Russia become a superpower. Yet Ezekiel spoke 2,500 years ago that there was going to come an army like a storm, a great military alliance, a great political man with evil desire inside of his heart, gathering together with the Islamic nations to come against Israel. Wow, friends, that's an amazing thing. Prophecy is time-locked. Everything falls together exactly in the season that it's prophesied. And one by one, people were watching. The critics of the Bible, they, when these prophecies, Ezekiel 38 before, they would say, this will never happen, these nations, this, that. And now everything, each piece of the jigsaw puzzle is falling right into place. Russia itself was Christian for 1,000 years until the Russian Revolution. I think it was 1916. It never would have come against Israel as a Christian nation. But then it became communist. Yeah, the Russian Revolution. And now it's devising evil inside of its heart. So friends, like I say, where's Egypt here? The thing we see from this, next week, by the grace of God, let's try to take a little bit deeper. We see an overview there just to show. Go and read Ezekiel 36. If you've got time, if you've got nothing else you're reading, Ezekiel 36, the restoration, the promise of the restoration of Israel. We've already seen that. Ezekiel 37, the valley of the dry bones. We already see most of that has been fulfilled. The only thing they haven't yet is received spiritual life. Then Ezekiel 38 and 39, speaking of when they're dwelling in safety, when they've made all these peace accords, when they've been brought back from the nations that are scattered, there's going to come an evil plan in the heart of this Gog of Magog. He that rules over Meshech and Tobolsk and Ross, and he's going to make his alliance, what does it say there, with Persia and Ethiopia and Libya, with Gomer and Togo. There's other ones you could look at there. But friends, all we can say is we're very close to be able to say this day the scripture's fulfilled. Yeah, it's not far. It doesn't take much to come to this. The only thing that's needed is the hook. The only thing that's needed is the motive for this man to do it. Because we see with Putin, if he is the one spoken of in scripture, he could be setting the way for the real one. We don't know these things, but he seems by all appearances to fit the exact characteristics of this man that God has big issues with. Is inside of his heart, he only acts when it's in his interest, and then he's fearless the way that he acts. So there's got to be something he's going to find in Israel. which is in his strategic interest for him to be drawn down from the northern parts and come against, break all of the treaties he has with Israel and come against Israel in the latter days. And by the grace of God, let's look at that one. Next week, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word that is so true, Lord. Father, surely you know the end from the beginning. Surely, Lord, who can devise anything against you? Who can take counsel against you? Father, that's why we just want to entrust ourselves to you and give unto you all the praise and the honor and the glory. Have your way inside of our lives. Lord, you know that the end is not yet. Lord, there's still things to be done. There's still, Lord, your work to be finished. And all we want to do is just be faithful to what you've called us to do and called us to be. So stir us up, Lord, each and every one of us, and bless and touch your people and bless the remainder of our fellowship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. Any questions there before we finish off? Any observations or questions? Like I say today, just trying to put a bit of a background there. If you read those chapters, it really does become clear. And I think we will see, especially to that minister who put it on Facebook, I really would like him to take those scriptures and explain it, that it's not Russia. He's going to have a hard time. He's looking at the wrong Gog and Magog. So I really do hope he'll watch this if he does get a chance. Maybe next time, not to be too quick to jump, which is a mistake we all make. Anybody else, since there any questions?
God bless you, Pastor.
God bless, bro.
Yes. That's an interesting Bible study. I really enjoyed it. And I was just looking at the current president of Turkey.
Yes.
Turkey being currently an alliance.
Yes.
The NATO, that alliance. And this president seemed to be going against this alliance in everything that he's doing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like paving the way for Turkey to maybe break up with this alliance in the future, or fight with this alliance and then be joined to Russia and these other nations.
Yes, true, bro.
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting the way you just brought it and showing how this Turkey will be actually part of that bigger alliance.
And just on that one there, Brakesh, where it's very interesting, but your point is very good. It shows, it's like in Israel, there were pharaohs that were very, very sympathetic to Israel in Egypt, remember? But then in the Jew season, there came one man, a pharaoh that knew not Joseph, that had no respect. And that changed the entire nation now against the children of Israel. But it was in God's provided time. It's the same as Turkey. Turkey and Israel were so close in their alliances together. Turkey was so much leaning towards the West, like you say, NATO, and wanted to join the EU, until this pharaoh rose up there. And his ambition, he wants to make it like Iran. He wants to make it into a Muslim state. That's his desire. And straight away, he started looking towards Russia. And that's what stopped all of the process of Turkey joining the EU. Everything got stopped. And now he started getting missiles and weapons from Russia, yet before he'd been getting them from the West. You know, so he is really a man. Each of these people, when Brother George Martin, when Putin first came in, I remember him using, you know, play on names, we've said it before. He says Putin, he was put in by God, you know, that's his name. As is his name, so is he. And you'll find Erdogan, he's a man for the times. He's like people say, they've got an end time anointing upon them. The prophet says the world is in the spirit of the last days. You know, you can really see it. There's that anointing of the last days, moving them into their positions, quickening them to, you know, they were in the wrong alliance according to prophecy, quickening them into another alliance and so forth. How much more with us? You know, that real end time anointing upon us to move us into our place and our position. But yes, bro, one man makes all the difference. Erdogan turned the whole thing on its head. And now you find Turkey. But still, it seems Russia will invade Turkey. So they almost did a few years back, if you remember, when Turkey shot down a Russian jet because Russia was overflying Turkey without asking for permission when they were fighting in Syria. Russia was helping Assad in Syria. And Turkey then said, if you send your jets over, we'll shoot them down. And they shot down a Russian jet and one pilot died. And Russia very nearly invaded. It was some years back. You know, so you'll see. I don't know what's going to happen, but it'll be interesting to watch. But yes, you know, Turkey is a pivotal nation in the Middle East. Anything else there, bro? Any other observation?
Yes, Pastor, I just had a small question there, but I was also looking at what the prophet was saying. The question that I had was about this Gog and Magog, like, is it going to happen after the rapture?
Yeah.
Like, will this Gog come against Israel after the rapture? But now I was also looking at what the prophet was saying in one of these sermons, like God being misunderstood. He was saying that this North country, Russia, now I do not say that it is correct, but to my way of teaching, it comes comes to pass after the rapture, after the church is taken up, and God deals with Gog and Magog when they come down before Israel there. So it shows that maybe it's going to take place.
Well, it has to, bro. I mean, when Brother George the other day was going to fly to Vilnius and he phoned me and said, "Brother, what about this one here with Ukraine?" I said, "Brother George, what does the scripture say? Revelation 7, those four angels have to hold back the four winds of the earth until the sealing of the servants of God. We can never have any of those major wars, Armageddon or even Gog and Magog. God will never allow the enemy to come against his people until they're sealed away." You know, I mean, God's never going to allow Russia to come against Israel now. I mean, it's like it's not prophetically right that. Brother Sasha was asking questions. Maybe we'll try to get into it next week. The question we'll try to see is, where is America in this? Why is America not standing up for Israel? Has something happened in America? You see, it leads us. We can't say definitively, but maybe something's happened in America. Maybe something's happened to California. You know, maybe something's happened to Los Angeles and America's in a disarray. And this opportunist, this Gog, maybe he takes his opportunity then. We don't know. But no, you start thinking to say, but why is America not? That's Israel's greatest ally. Where is they? You know, it's very notable in its absence. There's nobody, you can find it from Zechariah chapter 12 and that, not a single nation stands with Israel. So, you know, that's where you'll find absolutely, it has to be the other side of the rapture. You know, the prophet says not one missile will fall until before the bride goes, and can't. He says, because like I'm saying with Lot in Sodom and all those kind of things. Now, the Lot, even the angel said to Lot, hasten thither, come quickly. We can do nothing until we get you out of this place. And that was even just the foolish virgin. You know, so I mean, God is never going to allow these great winds. Those angels have to hold back the winds, the full wars and the strife. You'll have these wars and rumors, wars, the small ones, the skirmishes like now, but the real full-scale invasion, because next week we'll see as well, someone's going to destroy Rome with fire, burn Rome with fire in a single hour. It's going to be the same Gog of Magog. He's the same one that's going to burn the Vatican. You know, he's going to invade Europe. He's going to really, really, Germany needs to be judged for what it did to the Jews. I mean, God hasn't forgotten. Mm-hmm. All of these things are going to come upon this generation, Jesus said. So you're going to find the prophet says, don't fear communism. It's a tool in the hands of God to execute vengeance, just as much as Nebuchadnezzar was. But once he uses them, then he's going to judge them even more severely. Because what did Russia do to the Jews in the pogroms 100 years ago? What has Russia done to the Christians under communism? Yeah, God has an issue with Russia, a big issue with Russia. He hasn't forgotten what Russia did to the Jews, what Russia did to the Christians. They've touched the God's anointed. God's appointed time will come, and he brings them down, and this is not God's appointed time. And God says, I am against you, O Gog and Magog. That's how I'm saying to the saints, especially those who come from Eastern Europe and that, because many of them do sympathize with Putin, because Putin in many ways has been good for his country. He's built his country back up again. I mean, when he took over, you know, Russia was a basket case. I mean, they had to have queues for sausages. It was like Zimbabwe during the inflation days, you know. There was no food and stuff. Yeah, now he's a thug. The moment he got in, the first thing he did, there's 89 provinces. Each one should elect its own governor. The first thing Putin did when he got in, signed a decree, no more elections for the governors. I'm going to appoint them. Every leader of the opposition was either imprisoned or died mysteriously. All the newspapers that were against him were closed down. We found embezzlement charges, framed up charges, imprisoned. Yeah. He just crushed all opposition. So now he was like Hitler. He had so much power. Now he used that power to build up the military again. He used that power to start to restore some honor back to his country. So that I can understand why the Russian-speaking saints, they appreciate that in Putin. But go and read Ezekiel 38. God has a big issue with this man because this man is not a friend of the bride. This man is not a friend of Christianity. He befriends the Orthodox people, yeah, because of political means. But they've stopped churches. Now the law in Russia, you can't go and preach freely in Russia anymore. You know, so if a man's against the real gospel, against the message, how can we support a man like that? Yes, politically, he's done a lot for his nation, but at what cost? There's no more political freedom in Russia. There's no more press freedom in Russia. Yeah, I mean, it's like the days of Nazi Germany. You got a dictator in control. He's a czar. He's the pharaoh now. He's now made a law. He'll be there forever. I mean, he can never be taken from that place. So you already see he's a man for the times. Yes, on one side, like when Hitler took over and helped Germany very well during the 1930s, he brought them out of recession, gave people jobs. But what was the cost? He crushed the opposition. He made concentration camps, put all the communists in there and all the trade unions and all that. So, you know, I think people need to really look behind this man. What does God say about this kind of a man? God has a serious issue. God has anger against this kind of a man. He's going to judge him severely in the end. So I don't think we should be sympathizing with something that God doesn't sympathize with. And I think we need to look through the lens of scripture, not just through our political upbringings and stuff when you look at these kind of things. So absolutely. Thanks, Brian. Just to read the comments there, Brother Faithful says, we have seen the narrative about Israel changing of late. More nations are turning their backs on her, yes, claiming she's the evil one. Absolutely. So we are most likely nearing the time of all nations backing down, especially for political correctness. True. You'll find that in Zechariah chapter 12, when it's Israel that no man loves and so forth. Yes, that's why these accords that are being made now with Saudi Arabia and different Arab nations, it's very noble, but I don't think they're going to stand the test of time. You know, you're going to find the nations will come against Israel. So yes, bro, it just has to be like that. It's according to prophecy. Brother Sasha said, if BBC and CNN could have this news, that's right. We're actually reading tomorrow's news. No, we're not reading today's news. We're reading the future. Yeah, we're telling that God has already told us things that are to be. You know, so we're actually reading the newspaper headlines, which are to come. We can tell what's going to happen. Russia invades Turkey. It's going to be a newspaper headline one day. Yeah, and that's going to be, you know, that... Russia makes alliance with so-and-so, and then it's going to be whatever the cause is. You know, I know, well, I'll say it next week, but Russia gathers forces on northern border, Golan Heights, on the mountains of Israel, according to prophecy. And then there's going to come some unusual headlines because God is going to fight for his people. You know, that's really what's going to take place. So John O'Reilly, thank you, John. How long do you think this will go on until the Messiah comes back? Will you have to endure Putin's reign for 42 months? Well, the tribulation period, that's the great tribulation, 42 months. I don't know if it's going to be Putin. It could be. I mean, the way the man's entrenched power in his own office, and he's like just so driven, and he seems so anointed to be just the man the scripture says, I'd be surprised if it wasn't him, but it can be. It could be even a greater than Putin is still to come. You know, it very likely could be. He's just preparing the way. But we're going to have to put up with Putin until the rapture. That's how long we'll put up with Putin. After the rapture, the world's going to really see him. You know, then they're going to find there's going to be the real division. There's going to be the beast and his forces, the EU and all that. And you're going to find there's going to be Gog, the ruler of Magog with his forces. And there's going to be a great, great thing leading to the battle of Armageddon in the end. So yes, the great tribulations, when all of these things are going to pour out, when those angels release the winds now, under the trumpets now, you'll find that. The political strife, the wars will burst forth. But until then, the Lord has commanded and restrained them. They could only work within boundaries and parameters now. Yes, he always does it during the Olympics. If you go and see when they invaded Georgia, 2014, Putin was clever. He did it during the Olympics because he knows that America, they're pleasure mad. You know, they don't even watch the news when the Olympics are on. So Putin just went and invaded Georgia during the Olympics, and the Americans hardly even noticed because they were watching the Olympics. And so not surprisingly, he does it during the Winter Olympics now. You know, when people are so, men shall be lovers of pleasure, you know, and all those kind of things. So it's not surprising. He's an evil genius. He's a very smart man. You know, he's not a man you want to play around with. Somebody was saying to me today, don't put it on the internet. Don't put this message on the internet. I said, no. No, it's in the Bible. It's the truth. I mean, hey, look, we've got brothers. I was just chatting with our good brother Eugene there in Kiev just a couple of days back. They're wondering what's going to happen. You know, what about the saints in Donetsk, brother Vladimir Ryabov and those? You know, they're moving all the people out of Donetsk and bussing them into Russia, and all the under 55s have been conscripted. Now everyone in Donetsk and Luhansk has to join the army now. You know, so you think of the saints that are there. And there's the children of God, and they may the Lord really watch over them. Oh, they want you to upload your passport. When Brother Sasha tried to put it on Facebook, they said they wanted to confirm his identity. So they want him to upload his passport. So, don't take any trips to Russia in the near future, bro. After you uploaded it, you'll be fine. But yes, saints, we're living in very interesting times. Next week, we'll try to really finish it up, but it leads into a lot of things because there's certain things we're not sure of, and I'm sure you're the same as me. Brother Sasha asked quite a lot of them to me today, and I said, let's try to just piece it together piece by piece. It's pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. We know what the overall picture is, but how do the individual pieces, like I'm saying, like America, being a smoking ruin, when is that? Is that before Gog and Magog? I would suspect it must be, because in Gog and Magog here, when he comes against Israel, he gets destroyed, Russia. So America must already be a smoking ruin at this time, if you see what I'm saying. So next time we'll try to put different combinations of how do we fit the things, Los Angeles sinking, you know, the rapture, Gog and Magog, Armageddon, the destruction of the seventh vision, destruction of America, how to put those things together. I don't think anybody, the prophecy is when you think you've got it all right, then you've got it wrong. You know, prophecies like that, but we'll try our best to put it together. But if you've got any questions, please throw them across to us and we'll try to address them next week. Let's ask Brother Sasha to pray for us. John says we'll win and rise. Amen. Saints, we don't fear the beast. We don't fear his system. We don't fear Gog and Magog. These are, you know, who is Russia's closest ally in that alliance? Is Persia. Who did Daniel find withstood him? Was the prince of Persia. That evil power that governed Persia. That one that was against the fulfillment of the prophecy for Israel to come out of Babylon. Yeah, it was the prince of Persia. These are powers. These are principalities. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We're not a part of those kingdoms. We're part of a kingdom that's already conquered these kingdoms. And that's why Satan gets so enraged when he sees God blessing Israel like that. And we'll see when they strike the oil, they found the gas already. Watch Russia now come for the oil. And they've got to come down for something. When God is blessing his people, it gets the attention of the devil every time. But you can't touch the apple of his eye. You can't touch his anointed without God standing. The same one who stood between Egypt and Israel at the Red Sea is the same one that's going to stand for his people when they come against him on the mountains of Israel. So thanks very much for your question there. Brother Sasha, you pray for us, please, brother, and God bless you richly. Saints, may the Lord richly bless you until we meet again.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this Bible study tonight, Lord. It was great, Lord, and it's big joy in our hearts, Lord. When we listen to these things, Lord, we are not afraid, Lord, of Putin, Lord, of Russia, Lord, but we are hidden in the rock, Lord, amen, in Jesus Christ, Lord. And Jesus Christ is the revelation of the world, Lord, today. Lord, we are not desperate, Lord, because this time is time to go home, Lord. And we see how his prophecy is fulfilling, Lord, and we are glad. We are sorry for the world, Lord, but we are glad because your word is exactly right and on time. Lord, thank you for everyone who was listening. Lord, we invite again next time, next week, for more of these prophecies and the truth. And we believe it will be blessings like this time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you, saints. Have a wonderful evening. And may the Lord be with you. Amen. God bless you, John Hegarty, as well. Good to see you. I hope you're well, brother. God bless each and brother faithful, brother Jess, everybody there. God bless Sister Grace, Sister Susan, Sister Maria, brother Greg, and everybody else. May the Lord bless you, saints. Until next week.
God bless you, Pastor.
Oh, brother Maxo. God bless, bro. Good to hear from you, bro. And the Chabias, God bless. Oh, brother Maxo. God bless, bro.
God bless you,
Pastor. Watch out, this. There's snow forecast tonight. Watch out.
God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless. God bless. God bless. Ah, Sister Grace, God bless you. James and the soldiers
God
there.
Bless God bless you, sister. Sir. God bless you.
God bless
you. Ramako, God bless you, brother. God bless you, bro. Brother Ken as well. Good to see you again.
God bless you, bro.
God bless, sister. Sister Anne and the saints, God bless. Oh, there's the big man.
That's wonderful. That's a great one.
Sister Jade as well. God bless you there. Sister Lydia, may the Lord bless you and the Kubiliuses. Brother Tendai, good to see you online, brother. And God bless you, big man.
Hello.
God bless. God bless, saints. Have a good evening.
God bless, bye.
God bless, sister.
God bless, bye.